Well, it's coming right for us, right for us.
Alshon. Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay. Guys.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Cut down there.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, Hamp and OB with Kaz on the air on 720 WGN. We are presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Bears are going to lose a football game. It was just fourth down. Brian Hoyer trying to pull off a miracle, but an errant throw. The Bears with a huge holding penalty on the drive, and it's 29-23, under a minute to go. The Bears have no timeouts.
Actually, not a bad throw by Hoyer. It was just the fact that nobody was getting open. Although they're going to show Jeffrey complaining about the fact that he was open. Problem is, when you spend all day really not getting open,
jogging routes,
it's hard for your quarterback to depend on you late in the game. So, Alshon, no show. If you think you're the elite wide receiver that you claim to be, run hard on every route, and maybe, just maybe, he'll look your way.
Yeah, he caught two balls all day, right? And the first one was, I think, the second catch of the day, or second play of the day, rather, and then he disappeared till the end of the third quarter.
He got nicked up some kind of a, I don't know. He went to the sidelines and wanted to be checked out because he caught about an 8-yard pass, and of course they tackled him. Guys, I overarching.
they did tackle him. You're right, it's weird. Cause
it's still illegal, isn't it?
No, because he's no show People Jeffrey. Tackling. And he's better than everybody else. You don't tackle him.
Oh, that's right. And when he wants to run a route, throw it to him because you have to, mentally.
But he's going to
run the route hard and get open. That'd be amazing. But, guys, in a bigger picture way, this game was, I hate to say, just, I don't know what to tell you. We're watching arena football now in the NFL. Both of these defenses had no answers, and you can say what you want. Hey, the offense, it looks like, they may have caught some lightning in a bottle here. Hoyer's third straight 300-yard plus day. Jordan Howard goes for over 100 again. But when it all shakes out at the end, we had 500 yards, but we didn't score enough points. We did not assert ourselves in the red zone. And most importantly, the penalties and mistakes we made, there's not enough yards to cover it up. You cannot expect to win in the NFL against good teams. And this is not a good team that beat us today. This Indianapolis team, they're going to be 3-13. But I'm just saying, going up and down the field, I got it. That helps. But it's about scoring points. We didn't score enough because of the mistakes.
All right. Looking at this game today, the Bears, and I'm going to start off by saying, they had the second easiest schedule in the National Football League. Okay? We're 1-4. 1-4. Now, where it's going to go from here, I have no idea. You've got Jacksonville coming in to Soldier Field this coming weekend. I don't know what's going to happen. The only thing I don't understand about Fangio and our defense is, it's kind of like there, but it's not there. And one of the things that I don't understand, one of the things I don't is why we don't go after the quarterbacks. Why don't we put pressure? Why don't we blitz? When you play a 3-4 defense, okay, number one, it's confusion. Number two, it's pressure. And number three, it's a slant defense. That basically, that whole first half, I think they might have blitzed one time. The only guy that can beat you for the Indianapolis Colts, they're a terrible football team. The only guy that could beat you is Andrew Luck. You let him sit back there, maneuver around, step up into the pocket, wheel out, instead of going after him with an all blitz out. Take him out. He's the only way you could we could lose that football game. That's the only way if we don't go after Andrew Luck. We let him sit back there, and guess what? I'm telling you, it's mind-boggling. I don't know what these coaches are thinking about on this staff. I have no idea. I thought maybe last week, finally, they were going to get this team prepared to play. Again, I'll say it again. Andrew Luck, all you had to do was go after him, blitz the hell out of him, okay? And we did not the first 30 minutes of this football game.
In spite of that, though, Ed, they still had six sacks, but
it
not
doesn't
enough.
Hold it.
Not
I don't enough. Care about that.
I understand, but let me finish. They did get pressure because Willie Young was a man-child that would stay after it. But you're right.
We got pressure because they got an offensive line that
terrible.
Can't right. block the Mickey Mouse game.
Right. But
that's why.
The point is, though, at crunch time, when you finally take the lead, you let Andrew Luck sit back there comfortable.
You don't let him
and
sit.
And he flushes out. He's finding people down the field. And even on the touchdown, you had man coverage to one side, it looked like, and then it looked like the other safety
exactly.
was playing too deep. So I don't even know if they were in a coverage that was recognizable in the National Football
League. You know, I personally got to go back and watch it. But, folks, this was like what I used to call a cloud, where they had the safeties in a zone, but Adrian Amos jumped a deep out route and turned the wide receiver loose on the corner in the end zone, which, guess what? That's just a hard play for him to make. He's got the outside third, but then you got to let him, you know, when you got a quarterback like Andrew Luck that's able to make that throw, it's a death throw into the end zone. And if you don't have a safety making a play on it, you're going to stop that 1 out of 10.
Hey, guys, could we agree on this? The Bears, it doesn't matter. Fine, Hoyer threw this. Everybody did that. The fact of the matter is we lost.
Yep.
I am absolutely – would you guys agree with me? And this will be the third time or fourth time I'm going to say it. How do you let Andrew Luck – he's the only thing they have. They have no running backs. They have no receiver. They got an offensive line, probably the worst offensive line in the National Football League, and you let him sit back there and pound us, and you don't go after him?
Yeah,
what are you thinking about?
And an empty backfield most of that final drive that they ended up ultimately winning the game on, and they went the length of the field, went from about the 15-yard line and went down and scored the touchdown. And it was empty backfield. And I'll tell you, as a high school football coach, you give me an empty backfield, I'm going to light up your quarterback because that means I'm going to send six and you only have five to block him. We're going to get to him before he throws the ball. That's the concept, right? Empty, you send six, one of them's coming free, and they're going to get a nice clean shot on the quarterback.
Okay, and I understand you're having an issue with Vic Fangio playing vanilla defenses, not blitzing, not forcing.
You bet I do.
Okay. And you know what? This is the guy, Vic Fangio, that has sat there in practice for 2 years watching how these guys either blitz or cover. And hit right now, and I'm just telling you, the proof's in the pudding. He was scared to blitz. He felt like he had a better chance of getting this thing stopped with coverage than with blitzers.
Okay,
and it blew up in his face.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Here's where I take difference with that, Dan. If I'm Fangio, you've got two middle linebackers. Okay, the ones we had before, I mean, they couldn't play dead. These two guys, Trevathan and Freeman, they're quick, they're strong, and you've got those two guys in the middle, and you could have came with so many unbelievable blitzes with a twist between the defensive linemen and shoot them up the middle, shoot off tackle, shoot off guard with those guys, and just keep him contained, and we'd have had luck. We'd have won this football game. That's my interpretation of what happened defensively, offensively. Again, do we ever try to go down the field? When we get into the red zone, what do we try, guys?
No,
one time
underneath.
One time we went into the end zone on about the, I don't know, 10-yard line or whatever, and we came up with a touchdown.
It's a beautiful
How
play.
Can you play football in this league, in this day and age, and when you get into the red zone, and you don't try to go and score 6 points? It's unbelievable.
And hey, I will say this, and let's go to take our break.
You know,
we'll
fine, Kazi. Well, here, Hamp and OB to start the show, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, also sponsored by Martin Chevy. Bears, go ahead. What are you going to say, Cuz?
Well, I was going to say, and, you know, as much as I got on no show, Jeffrey, in those moments, in the red zone, those are, if there's one thing that kid can do, he can win a jump ball. So,
yes.
You know, if you're going to throw it in the end zone, throw it to number 17, throw it high, and let him have a jump ball scenario because he can win those. He can't do much else, but he can do those things and win them for you. Take shots with
well,
him.
And speaking about that, two lousy football teams, but guess what? Who had the better receivers? We did. Who had the better offensive line? We did. Who had the
better
running back?
We did.
They had the better quarterback. We didn't go after their better quarterback.
T.Y. Hilton had a big day, too.
That's all they had.
Yeah, okay. 10 catches, 171 yards. Hey, 312-981-7200. You want to jump in? 312-981-7200. With you till 6 o'clock. Bears lose to the Colts 29-23. They are 1-4 on the year with Jacksonville coming to Soldier Field next Sunday at
noon. The team that beat Indy a week ago.
That's right. It's another team the Bears can beat. It's a brutal loss today, and there's just no way around it.
You know what, Mark, and I just want to repeat what I just said again. Just look at what we had offensively. Those two teams are not good teams, but we had the better line, the better receivers, and Hoyer's been showing up, and he's been playing.
10 penalties for 80 yards killed the Bears today.
What did they have?
Yeah, can't do that.
They had the
dumb football.
They've got one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive line in the game. They have no receivers. They have one player, Andrew Luck. And you don't go after him? Tell me I'm wrong, folks.
I'm not telling you you're wrong, Obi. Hey, learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Quick timeout at 7:20, WGN.
Now this is it. 4th and 8. Hoyer down the middle, pass behind the receiver, incomplete. Meredith the target, and the Colts will take over. 10 penalties in the game for the Chicago Bears, 80 yards of penalty yardage. 9 for the Colts, and in the end, in the matchup of these two 1-3 teams, Chuck Pagano and John Fox come together, and it's Pagano's team now, 2-3. John Fox, his Bears, 1-4.
1-4 indeed, and now at the bottom of the NFC North as the Lions got a win at home over the Eagles, winning by a point. So Detroit 2-3, the Bears at the bottom of the North. The Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Bears lose to the Colts 29-23. Game-changing moment, Glenn Kozlowski.
I would say the fumble after the Colts took the lead. By 3, we started to drive, or actually first play would have been about an 18-yard completion, and great play by the DB of knocking it out of Meredith's hands, and it hit the ground, and they recovered it.
Yeah, best day of his career for Cameron Meredith. 9 catches, 130 yards, had a touchdown, caught a 30-yard ball. He was targeted 12 times, clearly has some chemistry with Brian Hoyer that perhaps Brian Hoyer doesn't have with Alshon Jeffrey. Fair enough to say.
Yeah, I mean, Meredith runs his routes hard. That's the chemistry.
Yeah. And, okay, and the reason Cam Meredith was even on the field is because Kevin White is now on the shelf for 2 months. And so, you know, here we go down the road, 1-4. And, you know, guys, I just got to tell you, I'm kind of punch drunk. You know, we finally actually start seeing the offense produce like an arena team. I mean, these numbers are ridiculous. 33 out of 43, almost 400 yards through the air. Jordan Howard over 100 yards. And we lose the game. We lose the game. And, Kaz, the play of the game was a backbreaker. When we are in a position where we can drive and score and win and we turn it over, yeah, obviously, you know, it's tragic. But how the heck do we get in a position where one play like this can break our back? And, you know, I'm looking at this.
We're not aggressive.
Well, let me just say this. There's two guys on the Indianapolis Colts team that I think could have started for the Bears. Now, think about that. You made a great point. Our offensive line's so much better. Our back's better. Our receivers, except for T.Y. Hilton, a lot better. But we let the two guys that they've got that's pretty good.
That can play, right.
That can play. We let them beat us. Now, however you want to cut it, that's, you know, this is ridiculous. We outperformed them on pretty much on offense, on defense. We sacked their quarterbacks, what, six times?
Six times.
And we let that, we let them beat us.
Special teams, too, though. Let's talk about it. Robbie Gould, love him or hate him, this new kid is a disaster. He gets
two tries,
and can't make either one of them.
Misses
and,
both.
You know, I'm watching Adam Vinatieri. He's been around about 40 years now in the National Football League.
He's 43 years old.
And he kicked a 54-yarder, a 53-yarder, a 49-yarder. Our guy can't hit a 53 or a 49-yard field goal. I mean, misses horribly on both of them. And this other guy who's 43 years old, been kicking since, what, 22 years in the National Football League, and he could still go 54 yards.
Old Man Rivers got it done, and our guy, like you said, he misses it right. Oh, wait a minute. The kicker, he gets another shot, he misses it left.
Well, here, one of the bright spots, again, you can pick a couple out here and there, not too many, but anyways, Hoyer, okay? Last week, he hit seven different receivers. And he averaged per pat 7.7 yards. Now, again, folks, that is giant. Trust me, those are huge numbers. Those are like champion numbers. Today, he hit seven receivers again, and he averaged 9.2. Folks, that is through the stratosphere. I mean, if he can do that from week to week, it's almost next to impossible that you could lose a football game. Putting up the amount of yardage and the average gain per play on a pass is 7.7 last week, 9.2 this year. You're talking Super Bowl kind of numbers, folks.
That's
unreal.
It's Arena League offense that we find a way to lose. They come back from London, and they cut their leading tackler and their cornerbacks, two starters. And guess what? We still can't beat them. We still can't beat them. They cut two of their starters and line up a bunch of nobody yokels, and we still can't beat them.
I'm going to stay. My point of this game is okay, obviously it is four quarters in a game at 60 minutes, okay, is how do you let the one guy you know and everybody knows on the Bears team that can beat you is Andrew Luck. How you do not go after him for the first 30 minutes of this game, I have no idea. And I'm going to tell you, that Colt team is probably the worst team I've seen this year and maybe even last year, Dan. They've got nobody. They don't even, what they call an offensive line, don't even call it. They have nothing.
They're horrible.
They're terrible, folks.
But what does that make us? We lose.
Makes the Bears 1-4. Hey,
that's what it makes you, 1-4.
Yeah, we're coming back with Who Lit It Up. We'll come back with some of your phone calls, too. If stay on hold there, we will get to you after the 3:30 news.
Before we go, I want to say that not only that, there's a few plays that the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, that's a dumb football team. We'll get to that later.
We could get into the intelligence factor as well.
That dumb team, by the way, won.
They did. They did. Couple key plays down the stretch. Penalties kill the Bears all day, too. All right, lots to talk about. We're here until 6 o'clock. And also on CLTV until 4, it's 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Back at it, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Harmon, 312-981-7200. Hey, one bright spot, guys, today, the defensive star of the game brought to you by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hamp, you've, I think by about the third game or so last year, you took a liking to Willie Young, and he was doing it again today all over Andrew Luck. I think that's our defensive star of the game.
I like Willie for a lot of reasons. You know, Willie was forced into basically playing every snap today. And normally, they platoon, there's nobody left. You know, when Leonard Floyd takes the day off, you know, Pernell McPhee is on the IR, Lamar Houston's IR. Sam Acho, there's nobody else. All that being said, Willie sucked it up. He had an ankle problem and didn't practice much this week, but he had 3 sacks. He was really the only consistent guy forcing some pressure upon the quarterback, Andrew Luck. And the close second place was Bryce Callahan, who made a couple of great tackles down at the goal line. When most of those nickel and corners will get run over and they get knocked into the end zone, he knocked the receiver back the other way when they caught it on the two. So, yeah, Bryce Callahan is another, bright light in this defense so far that's really kind of struggled.
And he did it a couple times today. It wasn't just the first half, second half. Right.
Secondary's been pretty good, with the exception of breakdown in coverages sometimes.
Well, and Jacoby Glenn got beat on that pass by T.Y. Hilton in the fourth quarter we didn't blitz, we didn't help, we didn't do anything. Guys, all that being said, this defense is ranked, going into today, 10th in the NFL. We're the 10th ranked defense. Now, think about that. That's in the top third of all defenses in the NFL. So, all that being said, we still have so much more to be desired. We need Danny Trevathan back. We need these Pernell McPhee back. We need these, the safeties to really start to come to fruition and make plays on balls and not just make tackles. But we're the 10th ranked defense. You can say what you want about his refusal to pressure and blitz today, OB.
Right.
But there's got to be some kind of a method to his madness. We're the 10th ranked defense. And that, in my mind, it's almost preposterous.
Now, I want to just get in there. Bryce Callahan did have to leave the game with a hamstring injury. He was on the table for a while, so hopefully he'll be okay coming back next week with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Also, I mean, Bryce Callahan's been doing this all season long. He was the second best-ranked Bears defensive player last week, I mean, behind Jarrell Freeman, who's been all over the field.
Yep. Let's take a peek down the road. Who do we got coming in here next week? It's Bortles. Who can throw it around? He's competent, and a couple of really good young receivers, isn't it Robinson and I can't remember the other kid that they have that,
we'll pull it up.
Still a bad team, but you're right. They can't throw. They could score.
Well, they beat the guys we couldn't beat today.
Right.
They beat them in London a week ago. I'm just saying, the hits won't keep coming. They're going to come until you find a way to stop them. And, that Eugene Robinson, he was, real high fantasy kid that everybody projected, 12 touchdowns, all that stuff. So, do they have a great running game? No. But they're going to throw the ball. We're going to have to find a way to pressure Blake Bortles. With time, they're all good enough to beat you.
Allen Robinson leads the Jaguars with receptions of 21. Allen Hurns is second with 15. You got a Marquise Lee, Julius Thomas, T.J. Yeldon. I mean, this is not exactly all these the most receptions.
Yeah, but they're all young receivers that make plays.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you can't beat the Colts when you throw for nearly 400 yards, run for over 100.
Yeah, we have to throw for 800 to make sure we beat this
right,
bunch.
Right.
I still will tell you guys, teams that consistently win in the National Football League run more than 20 times in a game.
I agree.
And you have to do that to be a consistent winner. Well, and when you're averaging 7.4 yards, that's on the offensive coordinator to dial it back and pound the ball.
And when you're talking about Jordan Howard, by the way, running the football, I mean, what are you guys seeing with this guy? Rookie, late round pick. You want to get
a kid that just plays hard?
I mean, I guess Ryan Pace deserves
some credit.
Right?
And more importantly, with this, he is not a nifty back in the sense that, he's got to have these little cracks to pop through. He will be his own blocker. And a lot of times, and Kaj's point, I said on Fox this morning, I said, we got to give it to him 22 times. Hey, it'd be great 26, but 22. And, it keeps you-know-who from coming on the field and throwing it against our defense when we had, no way to pressure.
It's clock time, too. I mean, it's just the way you win games. You got to limit possessions of your opponent.
312-981-7200. Joshua in Joliet wants to talk about the penalties, which could fall under the coaching umbrella. Go ahead, Joshua.
I think if we want any prayer of going to the Super Bowl, we cannot do that. That is ridiculous. And OB, If Doug Buffon was around, he would.
Lost you there, Joshua. But yes, Doug Buffon would not be thrilled with this either.
Joshua must have had some choice words.
Hey, Joshua. Joshua.
He got dumped somehow. We didn't get to hear.
If Doug Buffon was around, right now he wouldn't be here with me. He'd be on his way to the hospital.
This one would have put him over the top. This would have been the one.
This one would have put Doug over the top.
Especially the lack of defense.
Because you know what? Right. It was Joshua and the listeners, it was so obvious today. It was so obvious. We were such a better football team. Such a better football team. And, boy, we get banged again.
And, you know, Meredith had a great day, by the way. And that's getting lost in the shuffle. I know one of the game-changing moments was the fumble, but – boy, this kid caught the ball when it was thrown to him. He ran routes hard. He made plays, and, you know.
Yeah, a touchdown, 9 receptions for 130 yards, almost a 15-yard average. He was targeted 12 times. And, again, like I said, you know, the game-changing play was, well, unfortunately, when he was stripped of the ball there in the fourth quarter that basically – you know, put us in a position where we were no longer able to make a chance of winning this game.
One thing that we all know, okay, when you're a good if you're a good football team and you're in a tight game, you find a way to win, gentlemen, and to our listeners. You find a way to win. A good coach team, a team that is drafted well and coached well, when you get into a tight game, you find a way to win these games. Sometimes you play games and you play so bad – and somehow you still eke out a win. We are not even close to that. And again, I'm sure the McCaskies, I'm sure George McCaskey, and anybody that owns teams in the National Football League, why are you there? Why do you play the game? Obviously, there's bazillions of dollars and whatever, but you play to win the World Championship. You play to win the Super Bowl. That's what you game for. From week to week to week. That's what you draft for in the offseason. And when you get into training camp, that's what you train for, to play the exhibition games, to get ready to play a 16-game schedule and win the Super Bowl. Not come in second, not win your division, win the damn thing. And that's the kind of mentality that you have to have. And if you don't have it, sell a team. And if you don't have it, don't coach it. And if you can't play it, get the hell out of the game.
Well said. Loved it. More of that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Yes, Sam.
You know, and you made a great point there. Actually, two. You know, this team.
I thought it was a little more than just 2 points.
Well, let me just say this. Yeah, well, it was a long list, but let me bring up two.
He covered a lot.
Let me bring up two. We're not coached well enough. Well, who is that? That's John Fox. We got a better team. We got better personnel. We got, you know, supposedly of the 22 starters on each side of the ball, you know, what, they've got 3-4 guys that may start for us. And we lose the game, coaching. And that falls under the net of the penalties. You know, 10 penalties today, ridiculous. But the draft, think about this. The last 3 first-round draft picks, Kyle Fuller didn't make the trip. Kevin White, Eddie Goldman, Jeremy Langford, all those kids drafted last, didn't even make the trip today. Lenny Floyd today. I'm just saying.
Yeah, your ones got to be productive, and
our
not.
Ones have got to find a way to not only start and produce, but stay on the damn field. We can't get them on the field.
Hey, good food, tasty price, Mr. Submarine. We loved the subs again today. Grab a sub packed with delicious meat, cheese, veggies, fresh baked Toronto bread. Oh, it was delicious.
It's always good. Thank you, Mr. Sub.
312-981-7200. Yes, OBA.
No, hey, Dan, you made one good point.
So you're one up on him right now.
Hey, coming
one nothing.
Yeah, one
headed.
Up. Okay, got him.
Hey, coming back here, we're going to hear from the disengaged head coach, John Fox. That's next, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears fall to the Colts, 29-23, is indeed Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers, ChevyDriveChicago.com. OB, What's going on over there? You all right?
No, I was just having a quiet conversation with Dan Hemp.
That I'm calling.
Actually, it's none of your business.
The word is incredulous. How do we lose to this box of garbage called the Colts? And you know what, folks? We already talked about, hey, you know, the penalties. We had 10 penalties for, 80 yards, whatever. They had 9 for 70. But the stupidest thing I've seen in the NFL thus far this year was when the Indianapolis Colts early on kicked it and the punter's ball, you know, hit about the 10 and it kind of caromed toward the end zone. And the Colts are all around it. They're getting ready to down it at about the 2. And OB's new favorite player in the entire NFL, a guy named Jordan Todman.
Number 28 for the Colts.
And into the end zone without touching it?
No. The other guy had control of it. This idiot came in, stumbled, slapped the ball, and kicked it another, I don't know, 3-4 yards, and he went into the end zone.
That, folks, is a
moron.
And his team beat us. They beat us.
It was a great.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my entire life in football. How stupid could a guy be? How absolutely stupid could this guy
Why
be?
Why is he on your team if he doesn't know that or understands that?
Or that he's, you know, so careless that he would commit such a flagrant mistake.
And
it's just incredible.
His partner had control of it. Control of the situation. He came in, okay, I think I'll blow this up. Well, he did.
As a man who makes many mistakes in my life, I feel.
Yeah, but not that mistake.
That's not
not even understanding
wow.
the rules,
Mark,
right?
I've never felt this much support. This
Mark,
is a nice
Mark,
moment for me.
Well, it was a dumb statement you made, Mark. You just can't play football like that, okay? Don't even go there.
Yeah, Joe Buck crushed him for it, and that's very rare. Wow, that was really, really bad.
Hey, wait a minute. They beat us.
They did. 29-23. Hey, let's get some calls in here. 312-981-7200. We're going to hear from John Fox in about 2 minutes here. But,
ooh,
Bob,
boy.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Well, there's going to be riveting 1-4 John Fox.
Yes. Bob in his car wants to talk about Fox lacking intensity, which is probably a fair comment. Go ahead there, Bob.
Actually, I'm not in my car for a change of pace. It's taxi driver Bob. I'm just listening to you online. I wish OB would really tell us how he feels because he always seems to hold back. it's really tough. But I just can't stand. I don't know. I mean, Trestman was just godforsaken horrible. But I am not impressed with Fox whatsoever. I've been watching baseball this year with Madden, and you look at that. You know, guys that know how to manage their team, know how to take control of their team. And this guy
He's not engaged.
No, he's clueless. He's clueless, right? Clueless.
It's horrible. I mean, for God's sakes, I'm 56, so Hamp was in his prime playing, 85 Bears. And Ditka was engaged. He was grabbing people by the jersey and saying, hey, look, this is what you got to do. You know, and that's what was so great about Ditka. I mean, he would be engaged. He'd be getting people's faces, telling them, hey, look, it ain't cool. You got to do this. You know, and for God's sakes, get somebody like that. Another thing, draft a gosh darn quarterback, and this guy, Barth, is freaking horrible. I mean, just terrible. I'm just glad that the baseball season has been going so well because, you'd want to cut your wrist watching the Bears.
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Bob, hold on a second. You just took a page out of my book.
You did, Bob.
Absolutely, OB. I'm totally on board with you. I mean, this, the guy is just atrocious. I mean, bring somebody in that could gosh darn, coach. Please.
Hey, Bob, we got a Hall of Fame Famers Remembrances in 3 volumes. David Spada, Elliot Harris book for your disappointment today, Bob. Does that make you feel better?
Oh, absolutely. Sure does.
There you go. Hang on, my man.
Yeah, Bob, and to our listeners out there, I think, everybody has their way in this town. of about, you know, you watch a game and we analyze and come on the air and, you know, about what to say. I'm a firm believer in when they do good, you point it out, why, et cetera. You give them all the kudos in the world. When they do fair, find out, yeah, it could have been this, it could have been that. But I'm going to tell you what, when they do bad, you're going to point out the reasons why. I'm not going to sit here, and I don't think the gentlemen on this show are going to sit here and try and fluff something over on you and make pretty of something that isn't pretty. Sometimes things are what they are, and what you're seeing and what you saw today and what you've seen in those four losses, they are what they are.
Pig with lipstick on. That's what it is.
And I believe that's the only way I've ever, and I've been on the radio here for 20-some-odd years, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to keep telling it the way it is. If it's great and if it's good, why they do it, and if it isn't, we're going to tell you why. Unfortunately, in this town with the Bears, majority of it is not good.
Hampton OB, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, sponsored by Parent Petroleum, and yes, that's exactly right, OB.
Hey, let me throw something on the back end of that. Fox, you know, the cliche around town this week was, oh, we're going to stack some wins. All he can do is stack injuries and losses, because here we are. And again, I'm perplexed. I watched the game.
We can't figure out how you lose.
We have better players. What's the difference? What happened? OB, you just pointed out in the Chicago Tribune, every one of the writers, they all have, you know, selections each and every week. Only one out of the eight took the Bears this week. Why would these writers that go up and watch practice listen to John Fox?
That's pretty telltale, isn't it, Danny?
I'm just saying. What do they know that the rest of us don't know? They're taking Indianapolis. Why? Because they've been up close and personal watching Fox and this bunch and their lack of coaching, I guess. And that's why they're saying, even though the Bears got better players, we're going to pick the Indianapolis Colts. That tells you an awful lot.
Well,
right there.
Again, just to sum it up here, you know, to the folks, to our listeners, is that, you know, you're going to get, I mean, there's some guys that played a lot of years in this National Football League, and sometimes we accomplish some really nice things in our football life, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm a firm believer, and sometimes, again, saying it again, sometimes things are what they are, and we will continue to call it the way it is.
It's time now for Who Brought It Today, which is sponsored by your Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card. You know what to bring through it all. We've given props to Brian Hoyer.
It's got to be Jordan Howard. He brought it.
There
again.
You go. Yeah.
There you know, on what was it, 16 carries, 18 carries?
16 for 118.
16 for 118.
Popped one for 50.
Yep. I think he ran harder today than he did the week before.
And you know what?
I really
just
do.
Telling you. I was talking to a couple of people about this. Okay, hey, the kid's 21 years old, NFL, I got it. He had his head down and his eyes closed a couple of times in that game last week against Detroit. I think today he was much more patient, and he had his head up, and he was seeing the seams a lot better.
They had a pretty cool piece during the broadcast on him, too, about how he lost his father when he was quite young, and he wears the same shirt honoring his dad. He's been wearing that since he was 12, 13 years old. I thought that was pretty interesting. On Jordan Howard, the Bears, one of the Bears' bright spots from today. Hey, weeknights, WGN-TV presents Cubs Nightly. It's a nightly show for everything Cubs for as long as they're in the baseball playoffs. Watch Cubs Nightly. That's weeknights at 6 on WGN-TV.
When are we going to have the segment, What Did John Fox Bring? You know,
it's a good one.
Yeah, what did he bring, Cos?
What did John Fox do?
He had on a nice pullover shirt, and then on
the bus.
What did
he bring to the winning effort?
Oh, he brought nothing. He brought nothing, but he'll pick up his check, and it'll still cash the same way. But, hey, John Elway had it right. He ran him out of Denver, and they went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. Year before, he had taken that team to the Super Bowl and got embarrassed by Seattle. John Elway, Hall of Famer, said, nope.
Three times.
Don't like
John
what you're
Elway,
doing. You're out of here.
Three times. Once in the preseason, he had to go into the locker room and say, hey, this ain't going to cut it, you know, jerky. We got to get things going here. And after the third time and ending in an embarrassment to the Seattle Seahawks, Mr. Elway said, okay, we've seen enough. Whatever you want to bring it with you when you leave town.
I thought you summed it up great a second ago, Hamp, just talking about his disengagement, because that's what it looks like.
And you know what? A little means a lot, because you know, I know, that. And the guy brought up Ditka. Was Ditka the smartest coach? Is he Vince Lombardi? Maybe not. But if Ditka saw you holding somebody and you didn't get called, he would go off on you, wouldn't he, and say, hey,
oh, yeah,
I saw that. And you know what? All those little reminders, mental, you know, flashpoints during the course of the game. Everybody got it. He'd get on me. You know, if I was, like, trying to jump off sides or something, he'd be in my he was engaged. This guy, it's like all he can do is keep squinting, looking up at the replay screen.
Big Megatron. Up
yeah,
on the
he keeps thinking it's the readout at the bank where he cashes his checks.
Quick timeout, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls.
Hold on, aren't you guys being a little too critical?
No.
1-4.
No. 1-4, Ed. You pointed it out. They're 1-4.
We got 3
okay,
minutes.
I forgot.
We got 3 minutes of John Fox coming up next. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Bears lose to the Colts 29-23. Let's hear from the head coach of your Chicago Bears, John Fox, who's making a name for himself in this town. Here he is, John Fox.
Really, just update on the injury report. The only guy that really left the game, did not return, was cornerback Bryce Callahan with a hamstring injury. Any questions?
John, last on the 4th and 8, looked like that. What was Brian trying to do, and did you see Alshon wide open as well?
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to see the whole play. I'll have to look at it on tape. But, you know, we did move the ball down the field, you know, in a two-minute situation. We had opportunities and came up a little bit short. Obviously, the turnover earlier on the earlier drive was a key factor as well.
Thanks.
Also, you had Howard lined up in the receiver position. Nobody was on him. Is that the situation where
Well, you know, again, the quarterback's taught to read it out, whatever the play call is, you know, without seeing every little detail of the play, you know, on video yet. You know, I can't really say what the issue was other than we didn't execute it as well as we needed to.
You have a good sense of what happened on the go-ahead touchdown pass in the middle of the field there?
Yeah, I think they drained out the safety, you know, an out route and left the corner singled up, and you know, the quarterback made a great throw.
A lot of good things happen on both offense and defense. Does that negate, because you didn't win, does that negate?
Easy throw.
Well, I think, you know, our guys, the guys in there are battling. You know, I think we've got a lot of strong character guys that they're continuing to compete. You know, obviously it's frustrating. It's a hard pill to swallow. Anytime you lose a game, you put all that effort into it. And, you know, it was a hard-fought game, and we just came up a little short.
John, the decision to switch Chris Kaczynski with Harold Jones supporting in safety, is that a performance-based decision or is Harold injured?
Well, I think that was just on third down, but that was performance-based.
With 500 yards of offense, a little bit over that, were you pleased with the amount of output you got on the scoreboard?
You know, not really. I mean, obviously we ended up with less than they did. So, you know, I don't know if you're ever pleased about, you know, that fact. So that's something we have to work on. I think, you know, we did some good things, but not quite enough good things.
Was there more concentrated effort to go to Alshon in the third quarter, second half, than in the first half? Was he injured at all early?
No, he was not injured.
Will you take a look at kickers this week?
Yeah, I think we'll take a look at everything, like we always do. You know, I think the kicker missed one kick. I think it was plus 50. I don't know that that was his forte coming in to begin with, but you know, we look at everything every week. But I don't think that's on one guy by any stretch.
John, everybody's got an opinion about your quarterback situation, but Hoyer did a lot of good things today again for the third week in a row. Does that bring him any closer to being a starter with Jay's health? Is that something that's been
on? Well, I'm not going to get into speculation. Jay's not healthy.
Cam Meredith is having a nice game
in
that fumble. Why is ball security such an issue for
him? Well, I don't know if it's just an issue for him. You know, I think, obviously we'd like to prefer to have it zero. That's the game plan going in, but obviously they made a good play.
Tell us a little bit about Justin Howard.
I think it's Jordan Howard. Yeah. You know, yeah, I think he's a good young player. I think he's big, physical. He's got good vision. And he's got a bright future.
Justin Howard. Maybe they could use a Justin
Better
Howard.
Better than John Fox's future, that's for sure.
At least he knows who's on the team, and he knew that it was. That's a great moment for Fox. He knew that that reporter was wrong, that there is no Justin Howard on the team, that it's Jordan Howard. OB, doesn't that make you feel good?
Well, that's be another reason why to keep him. Okay, I mean, he's bright. He's up to it. He's got it.
There you go. I mean, Hamp, come on. He knows that Justin Howard's not the running back. He knows it's Jordan.
I've got, you know, I've just got issues with this guy.
Yeah,
you know, and we've already discussed, you know, his actual demeanor and conduct during the course of the games. But you know, we go back and part of the reason why teams win is when you prepare a team mentally, physically, schematically, all those ways, and you know, in your heart of hearts, you know, everybody goes, what was it like doing, you know, being on that team? Hey, we never had a shadow of a doubt that somebody would be able to beat us. We just, you know, we knew in our heart. Never once does this guy give me the impression that his answer is, we worked on it, we prepared, something happened, and it's always, we're going to work on that. It's always, something has to be looked at, something has to be addressed. I want a coach that fills in the damn blanks before the game.
That's I was ready to jump in, but you stole my words. That was great, Dan. That's exactly right. And what Dan said it, there's no other way, folks. Like, he's worrying about now, well, we learned, well, now we're going to go this week and we're going to work on
short.
It.
No.
You thought about that a long time ago.
Hey, Adam Hoge was down in Indy. He will join us next. And he was the gentleman who asked John Fox, hey, you guys got 500 yards, but you only scored 23 points. You happy with that? And Fox did at least moderately give a direct answer there, say, no, that is not good enough.
Well, he said it would have been if they would have won the game,
right,
is what his answer was. And
right.
Duh.
An equivocation.
Right. All right. Hey, quick timeout. Adam is next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
That might have been the best 10 minutes of the show, but we're back to football now as we're prepping for the debate tonight in the studio.
We're not. Hey, look, it's relevant.
Yeah, I understand. All right, here, let's move along. Let's keep it on track here. The Bears lost to the Indianapolis Colts. They're 1-4. You know, Adam Hoge, he's a great friend of mine, but he continues to tell everybody on Twitter how great Jay Cutler is and that he should be the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
Well, he's up there drinking the Kool-Aid, okay? So give him a little break, because every day he has to go up there and they give him a big old glass of Bears Kool-Aid that he sips on.
Adam Hoge Locker Room Report, sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda, online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Adam Hoge's contention is that with 7 yards of rushing and the pass protection that Brian Hoyer had today, that Jay Cutler would do better. Is that correct, Adam Hoge?
You can at least do just as good. I'm not... First of all, I don't want this to be taken out of context. I'm not backing anything Brian Hoyer has done. Brian Hoyer has been very good, very efficient the last 3 weeks. There's no question about it. But I find it frustrating that you put up 500 yards of offense and you only score 23 points. I mean,
yep.
That's...
And you lose.
And you lose.
And you lose.
And you lose the game. So my point there is, look, at times today, while the Bears were moving the football and getting plenty of yards, the lack of verticality within the Bears' offense reminded me of last year when the Bears didn't have Alshon Jeffery. Because it was like they didn't have Alshon Jeffery today. Because Brian Hoyer wasn't even throwing the ball his way. Now, part of that is he's taken some coverage and opening up some other things, so you have to take that into account. Sure, that's fair. But, look, maybe if Jay plays today, he throws a couple interceptions, one or two interceptions, which Brian Hoyer didn't do. But I also think that the Bears are scoring probably at least in the 30s here. And I heard one offensive player in the locker room say after the game, we should have had 45 points today.
Easy, should have.
So they understand this too.
Hey, Adam, though, here's my question, though. I mean, look.
He threw for nine yards a play.
One of the issues I see, and I get it. I don't understand why the offensive coordinator doesn't say to Brian Hoyer, because he can talk into his helmet, we're in the red zone, throw the jump ball. I don't care how many guys are on him. There's a good chance no show will catch the ball, because that's about the only thing that he does. He'll win the jump balls. Does he run hard on every route? Absolutely not. Does he, when he thinks he's going to get double covered, does he go hard? Absolutely not. But you do know, and we all know, that when you get in the red zone and you need a guy that you could go to, he'll make the play. So it you know, but that goes back to coaching. And that's what we've been harping on this whole time, Adam, is you had only two players, maybe four players on the whole Colt team that would play for the Bears, even start for them, and you got beat by them.
Yeah, and look, I know Hoyer ends up with 43 pass attempts because of a lot of that was in the last two drives. But at one point, it was the Bears had 14 rushes and 29 pass attempts with a running back that averaged 7.4 yards per carry.
That's my point, too. Adam, with you. I'm with you.
I mean, that's just inexcusable. It's inexcusable when they're running the football the way they were to have the imbalance between running and passing. And I even thought, guys, on that last drive, you still had 2 minutes left. You had two timeouts. You had a 3rd and 5 situation. Why not run a draw? Why not hand the ball off there? The guy's been picking up 7 yards because you're in 4-down territory anyway. So I didn't understand that either.
Poor coaching, that's why.
The one thing that I don't understand, and it's not only this year, but it's other years through the various coaches that the Bears have. For some reason, there's a mentality, offensive-wise, about attacking the field, where you're at and what you do. It seems to me, and Lovie Smith really brought it to the forefront, when they got down into the red zone or even near it, they would never go to put the game away. They would never go to the end zone. If he's covered, throw it out. And last week, they just showed it I don't know how many times. This week again, we went one time. But it's year after year, and I don't understand the thinking of that. All you got to do is look at Green Bay, look at New England, look at that, look at the other teams in the league. When they get into the red zone, they're not throwing 3-yard outs, 8-yard hooks, whatever have you. If it goes one time, maybe two times, they go in the end zone to put the points on the board. That is the one thing that I don't like. They're not aggressive enough down in the red zone to take and put people away. You do 522 yards, throw like he threw, run the ball like we ran the ball, and we come out with our butts kicked again. That's not acceptable. And the one thing I didn't see, again, in 5 games, when we're in the red zone, go for it. Go for the touchdown. Score it. If they intercept it on the 1 yard, let them drive 99 yards.
Yeah. Well, and OB, this is sort of the hypocrisy with the Hoyer versus Cutler thing. I mean, Hoyer doesn't throw interceptions. They don't put him. They create a soft game plan for him so that he's not really taking any risks, right? Whereas when Cutler's out there, they ask him to make throws that are inherently risky because he has an incredible arm and can do that. So, yeah, certainly some of that's on Cutler's fault when he makes bad decisions. We've seen that plenty throughout his career in Chicago. But they're also opening up the game plan more for him and putting him in riskier positions because he has the arm to do so. So they're at the same time, they're protecting Brian Hoyer, and that's why he doesn't throw as many interceptions. And let's go inside that last play, too, guys. And maybe you can help me out here. Alshon was single covered, right? I haven't really even seen it.
Right from the jump, it looked like it, yes. But there was a safety over the top that could have gotten there if Hoyer had looked that way. So I think the safety moved because Hoyer was looking straight, looking to the right. So technically you're right, Adam. If he looked right and then just threw it back to the left, there's probably a 90% chance that no show would catch that.
Yeah, well, Alshon said he read 2-man, so he was actually apparently reading the same thing that Brian did. Apparently they both thought it was going to be 2-man. They thought the safety was going to be over the top. And obviously that's not the way that played out. So, but, you know, as the quarterback, it's your job to read that correctly. And Alshon obviously had a step on his guy. Single coverage in that situation, I think we know where Jay Cutler's throwing that ball, no question.
Okay, and let's just go peel the onion just a little bit more. Cause you were a receiver in this league a long time. Now, when you play the Cincinnati Bengals, you know I know, you know, A.J. Green is the guy. They're going to double. And it's going to be 80% of the time they're going to double him, if not more. Well, on that last play, Alshon, it was a, it looked like a safety high man under, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what it was. It started
Hoyer,
that way.
Hoyer, knowing that 80% of the time Alshon's going to be doubled, he doesn't even look – he didn't look at that time.
Right.
He, you know, and again, Meredith caught the ball in traffic and had it stripped. Okay, well, the point being is maybe Cutler is one of those guys that recognizes, hey, if all things are equal and it's man under, I'm going to go to Alshon.
Because he gives me the best chance, right?
He's the best. But Hoyer guessing a little bit, realizing, hey, you know, he's been covered 80% of the day with double. I'm not going to waste my time. So all those things, and I think that kind of bears out when you look at the game tape and you see why he's throwing the ball to Cam Meredith, why he's throwing it to Eddie Royal, why he's throwing it to the tight ends more.
Yeah, well, let's speak to the reality here. The guy has played in three games. He's thrown for over 300 yards in every single one. He's thrown two touchdown passes.
Taking the primary read out of the equation.
Right.
He's one and two.
That's Alshon. He doesn't look at that. He's looking at 2, 3, 4. And that's good.
Right. I mean,
but we're not scoring points.
And we're
two,
not
three,
winning.
2, 3, 4 don't score your points. One does.
Gives you stats. Yeah. You don't get wins.
Exactly. And that. And let me my second question here, Adam. When you said – I talked to some players in the locker room. They all said, we should have had 50 points. We should have scored 40. Brother, do they have any clue or inkling as to what actually is happening with this offense and why? Yeah, it looks real good between the 20s, but then it bogs down when you go down to the end zone.
Yeah, well, I think it – well, first of all, early in the game, it comes down to stupid penalties, right? I mean, they
right.
killed
right.
themselves there with mistakes.
Holding.
So that
yeah,
that,
I mean
that,
they,
that was –
right.
Really just early. I think it goes back to the quarterback. I want to harp on this, but and what OB said, it's both the quarterback deciding not to take risks and the offensive coordinator dialing it back to protect the quarterback who physically is just not as good as Jay Cutler is. Maybe his stats are better. Maybe he's making better decisions with the ball, but he doesn't have the talent, so the offensive coordinator is dialing it back. And they're just and two, the play calling.
Hold on a second.
Run the ball more. Run the ball.
Run
more.
The ball. I agree with you, Adam. 30. It should have been 30 plus runs today, and we're not even discussing a close ball game because I think the Bears blow them out. If they give Howard the ball 30 times today, they win this game running away. No pun intended.
If Jay Cutler had gone 33 of 43 today for 397 yards and two touchdowns, and they had lost, people would be telling you how great Cutler was, and he's that's what would be going on right now.
Yeah, but I believe, and I think all of us will agree on this, he throws it to no show at the end of the game.
Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But he might have been picked off three times before that.
But you're guessing.
Adam, you know, Adam hit the thing. The ball right on, he nailed it. Play calling, down in the red zone. Play calling. Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and all our listeners out there, I'm sure, just watch it tonight, folks. When they get down into that red zone, if they're on more on one hash mark than the other, watch and see what play they call. It's either a sprint out or a bootleg, and bang, up goes seven. Up goes six, I mean. Okay? I think, Adam, you're right. When we get in the red zone, our play calling is not – we're trying not to make a mistake instead of trying to put the people away. And that's – and you know what? What happened today? That's exactly what happened. We got down there, and we didn't put them away, and up popped the devil, and we lose the game.
Hey, Hoagie, we got to go here. But by the way, on that last drive, he also threw a ball to Alshon that he dropped. The injury report is brought to you by the Rodgers.
Yes, he did.
Right?
He did drop it behind him.
The injury report brought to you by the Rodgers Auto Group of the New South Loop. Bryce Callahan, who you mentioned, left the game. That guy's been great. And so that's a significant loss if he's out for any extended period of time. Not that it really matters at 1-4, but that would be a big loss.
Yeah, hamstring for him. Jacoby Glenn ended up coming in the game, getting beat by T.Y. Hilton. So that was a huge injury in this game. Tried to talk to Jacoby Glenn about what happened on that play. He told me no comment, didn't want to talk about it.
Well, he looked like he was playing a cover three, and then the safety jumped the out. So, you know, he's playing outside leverage.
At least
he's going to give up.
Recognized what happened. He said that the safety was drained because, you know, on the out, deep out. And, but again, You know, and part of the reason, you know, we started the program off, Adam, with OB ranting and railing against the fact that, hey, yeah, we don't have all-pro pass rushers, and even though Willie had three sacks, we need more pressure on Luck. We let him take us apart in the second half, throwing the ball at will. And we needed to blitz more. And my contention is Vic Fangio is saying, hey, I've watched these guys in practice now for a year and a half. We ain't very good blitzing. I'd rather take my chances covering. Is that what you get?
Yeah, there seems to be a reluctance blitzing, no question. I definitely think that's there. And two more things on the injury front, guys. Speaking of the pass rushing, your first-round draft pick, Leonard Floyd. John Fox told us last week he could have come back in the game. And yet here he is a week later, inactive.
What?
So
say that again, Adam.
No. And last week I watched it. He strained his calf, a calf muscle. And John Fox said, well, we were leading Detroit. If we were behind, we may have brought him back in. Right, Adam?
Yep. And a week later, he's not playing.
He doesn't even suit up.
Didn't he also say that Jay Cutler was day-to-day? I mean, you can't trust whatever the guy says is my point.
Right. However, Floyd was standing on the sideline with his helmet on, and usually if you're not cleared to come back in the game by the medical staff, you don't have your helmet. They take it away.
Yeah, they take it away.
So what you're saying
– the doctors cleared him to come back in. That's what that tells me, and they chose to keep him out, and I can't tell you what happened during the week, but a week later, he's still not ready to come back.
No, little Johnny, don't go out. It's cold tonight. Just stay inside where it's warm.
Adam, good stuff. We'll read you at WGNradio.com.
No sympathy here. None.
See you guys.
There goes Adam Hoke down in Indy. Maybe Leonard Floyd is healthy, and John Fox doesn't want him on the field. That'd be hard to believe, but perhaps. I mean, anything's possible, I guess. All right. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their family medicine clinic, their speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, dental institute, and eye institute. At their clinics, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. You can learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500, the Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. The Bears lose to the Colts, 29-23. Coming up next, we will give you a little bit of what's going on elsewhere around the NFL as we move into our final hour of Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN.
Second and goal from back at the 15.
I think there's a lot to be excited about Cam, his, you know, role as it goes on, you know, him stepping up. He's a very talented kid, and I know how much he cares about it.
That's Brian Hoyer talking about his new favorite target, Cameron Meredith, who did fumble at a terrible time, but had a great day, his best day in the NFL, catching 9 balls today for 130 yards.
But it only accounted for 3 points. And again, if our kicker makes his field goal at the end there, we were close enough to kick the game-tying field goal in spite of all that.
All true. Hamp and OB with Kaz, sponsored by Martin Nissan, as we start the 5 o'clock hour. It's also time, guys, for the drive of the game, which is sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. Hamp, you've got this one.
Absolutely. Hey, and folks, we've talked about the fact that Brian Hoyer now, 3 games in a row over 300 yards, almost, 400 yards today. Phenomenal game. Okay, we got it. But the best part about it was we needed the offense to get us back in this deal. And we were able to score 10 points in the fourth quarter. The problem was they did too, and they beat us. So, but somehow, some way, this offense had to put together a drive. And what did they do? They put together the longest drive of any Bear offense in 7 years. It was a 9-play, 96-yard beauty that eventuated into a touchdown pass to Jordan Howard. And not only, you know, got us back in the game, but again, it was great in the sense that every once in a while, you know, you got to step up. And so many times we don't. And especially, you know, John Fox didn't have any answers. We didn't have – well, we answered with a great drive. Unfortunately, it was a little bit too late.
312-981-7200. I am curious. I mean, is there really anybody out there after seeing the drive that Hamp is just talking about, after seeing the last 3 weeks, that wants Cuddy back in the lineup? I mean, does that really exist out there right now? I'm not – You're this guy's not going to be.
It's a fair question. 312-981-7200.
Yeah, I get it.
That's the bottom line.
I mean,
the bottom line.
Okay, you're the Bears right now, Hamp. You're 1-4. You got Jacksonville coming in next week. I mean, how are you game planning next week? How are you game planning your season from this point going forward? I mean, you would think that there should be some short-term and sort of season-long strategy to get you to where you want to be next year. I mean, that's got to be on your mind.
The general manager's job.
That's on your mind.
But wait a minute. But hey, guys.
2 months ago.
There's a lot of different spokes on this wheel. John Fox has already said, hey, we're going to play the hot hand. If three straight 300-yard games and almost 400 today doesn't qualify as a hot hand, what will? So John Fox doesn't want Cutler to play. Now, what you and I think or what we want doesn't matter. He's the guy making the calls. You know, I know. We talked about today. As good as parts of this game plan was as far as moving the ball, generating yards, we didn't generate points. In my mind, Jay Cutler is one of those kind of special quarterbacks that can find ways to fit balls in and make scoring throws that get you those points. And there's a reason, you know, OB, you're saying, you would get down to the red zone, throw the ball in it. Maybe they just don't think Hoyer is proficient enough or gifted enough to make those throws.
Then
I'm
what's
just
he
saying.
Then what's he doing
he
on
throws
this team?
It out of bounds.
What's he doing on? What the hell is he doing on this team?
Because you can't find him, you know, under bushes everywhere. You got to take what you got, and he is the backup quarterback. Our quarterback has got a broken thumb. He can't play, so that's why he's on the field. But that is why they're not asking or demanding or calling specific play instances where he says, you know, hey, I want you to hit the seam, and I mean, I don't mean maybe. I mean throw the seam. Because everything we're doing, we're taking checkdowns underneath.
It's flawed thinking.
And Jordan Howard getting the touchdown, the guy missed a tackle at the 11-yard line. If he gets tackled, he doesn't score.
Right.
He broke a tackle. We've already documented how bad Indianapolis is. Their defense, they cut two of the starters, and the rest of these guys are dogs. And so, you know, it is what it is. But all that being said, we were not proficient enough, and we did not have a presence down there where we said, hey, you got to stop us in the end zone. We didn't even try sometimes. We handed it off, we threw underneath, and we accepted the field goals three times.
On the go-ahead drive, by the way, Hoyer was 6-for-6. He threw for 74 yards on the drive you're talking about, Hamp. He threw the touchdown pass. And granted, you're going up against an Indianapolis Colts defense that can't stop anyone. But you still can't take it away from him.
They were
bad.
My God, folks, you listen out there. Just
Dan's
believe me
not
when I'm telling
he's not taking anything
deep,
away
I
from
know,
him.
I know.
And they played what their offensive line. Is there a worse offensive line in this league than the Colts' offensive line? Jesus.
I mean, it's just.
Well, and here's the deal. Kaz has already pointed out that it was a 6-point game. If Connor Barth does not blow either one of his opportunities when he was presented with it in the fourth quarter, we got a great chance to tie this thing up going to overtime. Who knows? Who knows? But we made three field goals and missed one. We had to accept four times. And you only get nine, maybe 10, if you're lucky, 10 drives a game. So on almost 50% of the opportunities we had, we settled. John Fox, the settler. We settled for field goal tries.
He is
we made
a settler.
Three, missed
he
one.
Is. You're right.
It cost us.
Hey, listen. Say what you want about Indy. 90% going into today when they're in the red zone, they convert to touchdowns. That's what they had going for them today. Now, and ultimately,
let's think about that. Why are they so much better at, oh, their quarterback throws it in the end zone?
Well, he'll throw bullets into the end zone. Right.
That's the whole thing.
Hey, Bears fans, grab a copy of the Chicago Tribune at Jewel Osco this Sunday to collect your 2016 Chicago Bears Fathead Tradables. You can collect all eight now through October the 30th. OB.
I just want to get a quick shout-out here to Jeff Katera and his brother Jay and his brother John. And Jeff is kind of runs a bank, a branch where I live, and for BMO and I listen to everything he tells me. He's a good guy. And, Jeff, to you and your brothers, thanks for jumping on board at WGN and listening to what I think is the best damn post-game show in town.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, OB. Thank you for listening. And, hey, we're here till 6. Win or lose, today, unfortunately, the Bears go down to the Colts 29-23. But for those of you who are excited about a draft pick, this was a big loss today because Indy's going to be at the bottom. So this, if you're thinking draft pick, that was a good loss today. Hey, coming on back, we'll do the quarterback comparison. How did Andrew Luck
do? In week five, you're talking about a draft pick, Mark?
Well,
That's embarrassing.
It is, but that's the reality of what's going on.
You know what? It's pathetic.
I agree, but that's the reality. All right, coming back, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Quarterback comparison sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford. We're straightforward people, and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. Hampton will be with Kaz on 720 WGN. We've mentioned it all afternoon, but here are the numbers one more time. Brian Hoyer, 33 of 43 for 397 yards, 9.2 yards per pass, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback rating of 120. Cameron Meredith caught 9 balls for 130. Alshon Jeffrey, 5 for 77. Zach Miller had another solid day, 7 for 73. Jordan Howard, 3 catches out of the backfield for 45 yards, including a touchdown. Eddie Rumor, he was out there again today, Ham, 7 catches for 43 yards. Kadeem Carey caught a ball for 15. Josh Bellamy caught a ball for 14. Pretty impressive, 7 different receivers.
Here's a number that's not impressive. We scored 23 points all that wondrous offense.
Yep.
We scored 23 points. The settler, John Fox, attempts 4 field goals, make 3. The other one, our junkie kicker missed it twice. Not once, twice.
And we had 10 penalties for 80 yards at crucial times when the Bears were in the red zone, yep, sending them backwards. It was
actually scored a touchdown.
We are 1-3.
Right.
We are 1-3. We won one game going into this game. We get down into the red zone. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?
Success, apparently.
What are you doing when you get into the red zone or right? Even near it? Did you ever think about throwing the ball down the field and there's a thing at the end of it called the end zone? And that's how you score a lot of points? And that's how you win a game?
That big
it's
white line where it ends.
They went up and down the field. But when we got down into the where it really counted, bang, what happened? Put the brakes on.
They had one good hitch and go touchdown to Cameron Meredith. Other than that,
settle for a field goal. Settle for a field goal. Settle for a field goal. How about settling and going for a win? Would that be a little
asking way too much?
What was that noise right there? Can I get that? That was good. This comparison, I got to include the Colts starting quarterback, who, of course, was Andrew Luck. 28 of 39, 322 yards, 8.3 yards per play. That's 0.9 less than Brian Hoyer. 2 touchdowns, the same as Brian Hoyer. No interceptions. Quarterback rating less, 113.4. He was sacked 5 times for 24 yards of loss. And running the ball-wise for Indy, they had 14 for 75. Frank Gore actually going past Jim Brown today, which was pretty amazing considering the career of Frank Gore. Longtime 49er, still getting it done today. 5.4 yards per carry. T.Y. Hilton, 10 catches for 171 yards, leading the Colts in receiving. Dwayne Allen, 6 for 50, and you go down from there. Josh Ferguson, a couple of balls. Chester Rogers caught 3. Philip Dorsett caught 2. Quan Bray couple of catches as well. Bears lose to the Colts, 29-23. Jacksonville coming up next. And it doesn't sound, listening to John Fox, that Jay Cutler doesn't sound like he's going to be healthy to play. I mean, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think what he's, listen, the Settler is just going to say what he has to say and nothing more, because quite frankly, that would require thought and some foresight to actually look ahead and say, hey, when is my starting quarterback going to be ready again? So, of course he's going to say that. He's a Settler. That's the best way to describe this guy and what we're looking at week in and week out. Finals in the NFL, by the way. New England crushes Cleveland 33-13. Detroit comes back to beat the Eagles 24-23. That's a final there.
The rule of thumb seems to have been
no pun intended
for decades that when somebody is hurt and they're number one at their position, they come back, they have their job until proven different.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that going to hold now? Is that going to hold in this particular situation? I really don't know. But what I do know, you run for and pass for over 500 yards. You pass close to 400, and you come out with how many points did we put on the board?
23
points. There's something wrong, folks. It's something wrong, and it's not with the players, and it's not with ownership. It's with the head coach and his offense and defensive coordinators and his position coaches. I'm telling you, that's what I believe. That's where the problem is. These guys are not ready to go out there and bang it all away for 60 minutes. They're just not. And they showed it today, playing against a pathetic team.
You sure you want to let ownership off the hook here?
Well, folks, owners, their objective is to find the best people to put us in a position where we can win.
Bingo.
And they have paid. Trust me, they're paying as well as anybody in football. But let me just go back and hit on the quarterback controversy that will be brewing. I don't think it's going to even manifest itself. John Fox has, I don't know whether he by design or by his, you know, natural blundering, I think Jay Cutler has already, they've already decided we're going to move on. A year ago when Fox took the job, it was 6 weeks before he came out and said, oh, we want Jay Cutler. Yeah, we've been in meetings and we're all for. They had to be sold. Adam Gase, John Fox, the team, everybody, Ryan Pace, they all had to be sold on their reclamation project of Jay Cutler. And it worked a little bit last year. Now, we know this year hasn't been as good. But think about this, folks. You know, in the opener against Houston, the Houston Texans, pretty good team. They had the number one rated defense at the time in the NFL. And it didn't work out. The next week we're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. They're a better team than what we all imagined. But they came in here and beat us. Jay supposedly hurt his thumb in the opener, and now quietly has vacated the stage. And boom, Brian Hoyer has now appeared as a savior to some in this radio booth, by the way, named Carmen.
Yeah. One.
Anyway,
right one guy.
Here. But my point is this.
You're on, Mike.
You know what? Jay Cutler was trying to practice a week ago Wednesday. That was 11 days ago, 10, 11 days ago. And now he doesn't even want to consider himself a possible candidate to not only be ready to go, let alone be the starter. So what has changed? What's going on? That tells me that they're going to let Hoyer, it's going to be a Hoyer show the rest of the year. Cutler will get healthy enough to be in reserve, and Fox has already come out and said, hey, we're going to go with the hot hand. Well, like I said, 300-yard games is a hot hand in this league. So it's going to be Hoyer, and at some point, and I don't know when the deadline is, but I'm looking out the side of my my eye here, and I see the Miami Dolphins struggling with Adam Gase. And a lot of the reason is
Jay Cutler Ryan would look Tannehill. Good down there.
Yeah,
right.
Ryan Tannehill stinks. He's bad. And you know what? Hey, you're talking about draft picks a minute ago, Carm. What would be better than, hey, try to, you know, ship Jay Cutler out of here? Because You're 1-4. You've got 6%. By the way, did y'all see that? 1-4 teams have a 6% chance of making the playoffs. So it's c'est la vie, babe, and it may be the end of the line for Jay Cutler. So all the Cutler haters out there, this may be your early Christmas present.
Trust is everything. On that note, it's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com, serving our area. Woo! For 38 years nationwide, on your side, jeffvuk.com.
You know, yes, Obi. On this show, we've got some classy, quality people that advertise.
The Vuk. He's the man.
We really do. All of them. They're great.
Yeah.
You notice they don't advertise on the presidential debate. They like a classy show like this one.
That's right. They'd rather grab a part of this show than
be a part of that. Yeah. That's whatever we're calling that now.
Hey, the Vikings, by the way, are 5-0. Minnesota should get a little bit of least a mention. 31-13 as they've gone through two quarterbacks. Sam Bradford today, 22-30, 271 yards, a couple of touchdowns.
You know what though? I got to say this, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, Mark, but. We were talking about in the break, and Ed, you brought it up about Minnesota. And Dan, you had the greatest point of all. Their number ones are starting for them and producing on the field. And that is why Minnesota. That is why Minnesota right now is the best team in the division, because they don't miss on their number ones and they're productive in playing. Our last five, one is out on the field.
What's that safety's name, Hunter Smith, or what's his name from Notre Dame? I'm just telling you, he may be the best safety in football right now, and he seems to be virtually everywhere. If they hand it off, he makes a play. If they throw it deep, he makes a play. They're a very good team.
You know what? They're well coached. That Zimmer.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to tell you, he's a no-nonsense coach, folks. By the way, folks, he's the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
You're talking about Harrison Smith, Dan, by the way.
Harrison Smith, that's who it is.
Zimmer reminds me very much of Bill Belichick, a younger Bill Belichick. And I tell you what, Zimmer, there's no fooling around on that football team. If you do, you're gone, just like Bill Belichick.
Waited his time, finally got an opportunity, running with it up there.
Well,
he's done a great job up there, but he's a no-nonsense guy.
Yep. And he plays nothing. They play great defense, and their whole team is built around their ones being great defensive players, and it's a team game. Yeah, I mean, you can move people in and out, and they just keep winning.
And what is amazing, they lost their first-round draft pick quarterback in the training camp and their first-round draft pick
running back
that led the NFL in rushing last year. And they haven't looked back. Nobody's feeling sorry for them.
Plus, the Vikings have had a player of the week, at least going back before last week. They had a player of the week for 5 weeks in a row. Everson Griffin's been a monster up front for them. It's impressive what's going on up in Minnesota.
And team football, fun to watch them play. Why? Because they fly around and everybody goes to the football.
Gentlemen, just watch the teams that are winning. All you do is just watch them, watch what they do offensively and what they do defensively. This game is not. This isn't. We're not talking about nuclear physics here, guys. Okay, we're talking about 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, special teams, and coaches that should know what exactly the hell this game is all about. Unfortunately, there aren't 32 of those.
Quick timeout in the news. Half hour to go. Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN.
Touchdown Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Hamp and OB with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's take a look around the NFL. Let's update you on all the scores. We will start with what's going on right now. End of the third, Dallas is rolling over Cincinnati, 28-0. Bengals came in today 2-2. Andy Dalton is looking horrendous. And Ezekiel Elliott, your number one running back in the NFL, Hamp, 14 carries today for 133 yards, a couple of touchdowns. And Dak Prescott, I mean, this guy, fourth-round pick. Bears had 3 fourth-round picks. He was picked after all of them. 15 for 21, 207 yards and a touchdown.
And how many points have they scored, Mark?
28.
That's weird. Yeah. So, wait a minute. only 208 yards he threw for, Dan.
Right, but it's a running game over 100 yards, and they've got 28 points.
That's I don't get it.
The running game must really come into play here.
Let's look elsewhere. Matt Ryan's having a great season. Today, 15 of 27, 267 yards and a touchdown as the Falcons lead the Broncos. Denver's going to go down for the first time this year. 8:20 to go in the fourth quarter, 23-6. Atlanta on top of Denver. There's 83,000 plus in LA watching the Rams and the Bills. The Rams, a surprising 3-1, but Buffalo with a 23-16 lead, 3:48 to go in the third quarter in that one. Chargers and the Raiders. San Diego came in 1-3, the Raiders 3-1, but late in the third quarter, the Raiders do have the football, but they trail San Diego 24-19. Tom Brady's back in a Tom Brady way. 28 of 40, 406 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Patriots beat the Browns 33-13. The Browns lost another quarterback today, Cody Kessler, with a rib injury. So they were down to Charlie Whitehurst. And, Hamp, I think they're calling you up as well to see if you want to throw the football for the Browns next week. So there's
Matt. Trade him Hoyer.
0-5 are the Cleveland Browns.
That's where he came from.
Yep.
3 years ago.
Yep. And last year he took the Texans to the playoffs. The Lions, Detroit, 2-3 as they beat the Eagles 24-23. Carson Wentz, 25 of 33 for the Eagles. You remember him from week two, couple of touchdowns. There's one play in that game where Matthew Stafford lost his helmet, got cracked. That was, you guys see that?
Yes, no, we did. Well, and I will say this too, though. I mean, in spite of all that, they lose because on third down, their running back fumbles the ball. I'm talking about the Eagles, and Detroit recovers it and kicks the game-winning field goal to win the game. So, you know, ball possession is critical in the NFL too.
No
doubt. Guys, hey, you want to know what? Talking about all this stuff. How do we beat Jacksonville?
Okay.
How are we going to beat Jacksonville?
Well, they're coming off a bye, OB, so they're going to be rested and prepared. So there's that.
And the Titans
we're at
just
home.
Crushed the Dolphins 30-17.
The greatest fans on the planet. How are we going to beat them? You know what? I thought they play so many cream puffs this year, the Bears do. And I'm going to tell you what.
And we're going down like, you know what, in a punch bowl on a weekly basis. And, hey, come on. You know, we beat the Lions last week. Oh, that was a real big margin of victory, wasn't it? I mean, we almost lost that thing. Guys, come on. They kick an onside kick, and they should have got it back. Cam Meredith botched that. But how are we going to win? Well, we should have run more today. Well, by gosh, let's run some more next week.
Well, I'm going to.
Jordan Howard, 16 carries, 118 yards. Give it to him 30 times. See if he can get to 200 yards.
Yep. I'd
all
agree.
Right, how about, you know, Brian Hoyer and all of his gaudy stats? Let's stop settling in the red zone. Let's stop, you know, accepting those underneath throws to keep the completion ratio up, to get the gaudy, cheap yardage. Let's get into the end zone where we actually get points. How about that?
Hey, throw it to Alshon Jeffrey on a jump ball in the end zone.
Don't you guys remember, you go back over the past several years, even when Brian Urlacher was here, and they really had some tremendous talent, and you watched them, and they would get down there. Folks, you know that they're great Bear fans, and you follow them. When we would get down that red zone, and if it maybe came to third down, let's see, we're on a 16-yard line, it was like third down and 8, and they'd call for a 3-yard out. Few people remember that. I don't know what happens to coaches when they come to Chicago. I have no idea. But somebody find the bottle of those, where they keep those scared-to-death pills, and destroy them.
Hey, the next game preview, as we are talking about it, is sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford, number one in what matters most, and that, of course, is you. Jacksonville, just to recap on their season, they open up with the Packers at home, lost 27-23. Then they go on the road to San Diego, get smoked by the Chargers 38-14, come home versus the Ravens, who aren't exactly world beaters, although Baltimore's been playing better. 19-17.
Although they lost today.
And they lost today, right. 19-17, a 2-point loss. And then they go over to Wembley and play the Colts, who the Bears, of course, just lost to today. And they beat Indy 30-27. So they were off this week, coming in off the bye. And
so this whole thing's a mud pie.
Right. Right.
I mean, all right. And here's another thing we need to think about. Let's identify who we got to make sure doesn't beat us. We didn't do that today. There's two guys on the Indianapolis Colts that we all thought we got to stop them. We can't let them beat us. Did we do that, Cause?
Nope, we did not. We let Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton take us apart. Days
against us. And you know what? Hey, the rest of it, it's meaningless. You got to identify the ones that you think can beat you. Well, that's Blake Bortles. They're not going to run it down our throats. They can't run the ball. They've got Blake Bortles and a couple of receivers that can light you up. So how about we think about what we're going to do to get them stopped this week? And let's try to score more than 23 points, okay? The most we scored at any one time coming into today's game was 17 points, and it was good enough for a win last week against those hapless Detroit Lions. Let's try to score more than 23, huh? Let's try to hit 30 for old time's sake, OB.
How about let's try to get some takeaways on defense? And how about and what you're talking about, Danny, is putting points on the board. And I'm going to tell you something that drives me. I don't know. Football is – we're talking big boy football here. I mean, come on. You've got to take the bull by the horns here. This is enough of this dancing around and trying to be cute and hoping and praying that this works, that works. Take it to them defensively. Take it to them offensively. Stand up for something. Instead of getting pushed around and making mistakes, be somebody, do something. I don't understand defensively. Again, when we lost this game, folks, I'm going to say it again. That Baltimore Colt team is pathetic. And you mean to tell me the one guy that could beat us, and for the first 30 minutes of football, we barely see this guy or touch him and let him do what he wants. To beat the Colts, all you got to do is take care of Andrew Luck, and what the hell do we do? Zero.
Hey, let's have a little bit of fun here wrapping up the show. We got about 10 minutes to go, one final timeout. Tonight on Sunday Night Football, it's the Bears' ultimate enemy, the Green Bay Packers, at home with the New York Giants. They kick off at 7:30 up at Lambeau. There's also this thing tonight called the presidential debate, debate number two, that's at 8 o'clock. Will you be watching the Packers and the Giants or debate number two?
The state of Wisconsin will be watching the Packers. Well, make no mistake on that.
We'll do an informal poll on the text
guarantee
line.
Guarantee you that.
312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can call in, too. We'll maybe squeeze in a couple here. The debate or the Packers and the Giants? 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks again to Mr. Submarine. Good food, tasty prices. Mr. Submarine, add a bag of Frito-Lay chips and an ice-cold RC Cola. Make it a value meal.
I got to tell you, the ham sandwiches and the roast beef, it's simplistic best. It's just delicious. Look forward to it every week.
Really, the Toronto bread, there's a freshness that really just gets your Sunday going.
And it's, we talked about it, it really is old school.
A lot of people texting in, and we asked a question here. Debate number two tonight, or Packers and Giants? The text line's kind of overwhelming. 630, Packers. 708, Packers. 262, split screen. here we go. 630 football for sure. A lot of people going football. Let's see what we got on the calls here. Hey Wayne, you watching the debate tonight? Or you watching the Packers and the Giants?
I'm watching the Packers get beat by the Giants. Hopefully a lot of carry out card ops too for the Packers.
Oh, rude for the injury. All right.
You bet. Yeah.
All right, Wayne. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
You got it.
Hey, we appreciate you listening. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Wayne.
Take care, guys.
Thanks. 312-981-7200. What do you guys think gets better ratings tonight?
The debate. Not even close.
In my estimation, this is a real simple choice. It's discount double check versus discount double chin. I'm watching double check.
That's well said. Hey, Mike, what are you watching tonight, buddy?
I'm watching the debate.
All right.
Haven't made up your mind yet, Mike?
Yeah.
No, I'm watching the debate.
Yeah. What I'm saying. So you haven't made up your mind yet which way you're voting yet. So you got to watch it, right?
Well, I know which way I'm voting.
Okay.
You do? Okay. Whatever. Yeah. Would you take?
And it certainly won't be for the Packers. That's for sure.
How about this? How about this?
Nice. Well played by you, Mike.
Hey Mike, we won't force you to tell us who you're voting for, but let's say, let me just give you this hypothetical: the person that you are voting for, that person doesn't win, and the Bears win the Super Bowl. So if you were voting for Donald, Hillary would be in the White House, but the Bears win the Super Bowl. You taking that deal?
Yeah, it's a good deal. I like that. But I don't think the Bears are going to make the Super Bowl, and I don't think Donald's going to. I don't know if we trust him with the buttons. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Well, the buttons.
All right, Mike. Thanks, have a good thanks, night. Mike. Enjoy the debate.
He's fine. He grabs a lot of stuff.
Hey,
he's
let me ask. Whoa. Hold it. Wait a minute.
He's grabbing all kinds of stuff.
Let me ask you this.
He'll never go near the button.
Hold it.
You don't have a free hand.
Here's the question. Do you trust John Fox with the button? That's the question.
Fox wouldn't know where the button is. What's going on?
He would be he'd be settling, saying, well, what's for lunch?
Russia only took the Crimea. It's no big deal.
What's for lunch?
We'll punt.
Let's see. A lot of people texting in here. Unfortunately,
Lee, you want to take Lee, or are we done?
Unfortunately, this is a good text from the 815. Unfortunately, my husband is a Packer fan, so the Packers will be on the TV. You might have to, at this point in time, you might have to take a little more control.
You want to know what? You probably, you know, it's been pounded so long, and it's been so difficult, the news, one way or another, and I think a lot of people are more than sick of this, and so maybe the Packers rule tonight.
There you go. Well, we'll see.
That'll never happen nationally, but I would say in the state of Wisconsin, it will be the Packers. So yes.
Tomorrow night, you got some Cubs baseball for you, 8:40, game three. So I know you guys will be listening to Cubs True Blue right after the game.
Well, it won an award. That's why we're going to listen to it.
Thank you, Kaz, for mentioning
that. An awesome award.
Thank you.
What did you get for that? What was the award you won? What was the award?
It was a Silver Dome Award.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Glenn. It was myself and Adam Hogue and Andy Mazur last year. We're trying to do the same thing this year. I do. Cut. You're a beauty. A true beauty. All right. Quick timeout. You guys get to get on out of here. Next week, Jaguars. Can we win? Hamp.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a must win.
well, hold on, Dan. Thank you for enlightening me on that particular move or that particular subject. Come on, Bears, do it.
Bears and the Jags next.
I'd like Hoyer to put up 397 yards, Mark, with about four fade routes to Alshon Jeffrey when we get inside the red zone. Just throw it up to the kid. Honestly, it's a 50-50 jump ball, and most of the, you know, like I said, 50-50. I'm thinking it's 70-30 in Jeffrey favor of making that play.
Let's just hope that Alshon doesn't bury his head in the sand too long, because he was pretty upset coming out the field today.
Here's the thing about it. On the last play of the game, and that was the last play for all intents and purposes, right?
Yep. Last offensive play.
Are you
going to
throw it to Meredith or Alshon?
Well, Meredith had a better.
And I get all that, Mark, but it's a simple question.
I hear
and
you.
And I think that's why you'll always have people that will side with, well, you know, Cutler would have thrown it there, and I understand that, but you know, your point is valid. That would we have been in that position at that point?
Right, and
that's all you're saying, right?
Listen, when Brian Hoyer looks at the tape, if he had to do it over again, he'd throw that ball to Alshon.
Well, what he needed to do was he looked it off like he did, and then come, you know, and then throw it back, trusting that he's going to make the jump ball catch.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, final timeout, and Brian Noonan coming up next, 720 WGN.